As Linda Gooch was scanning her work emails, one message looked questionable.
I sent it to my communications person and I said, is this legitimate? Is this real?
We've all been there. Some emails are easy to spot as scams, like one promising me free money or the one claiming there was a warrant for my arrest over an unpaid speeding ticket. Okay, the last one might have been real, but Linda's situation was different. She wasn't sure whether the message in her inbox was a hoax or a genuine invitation to join the Florida Sports Hall of Fame.
And he responded and said, this is incredible.
The email was the real deal. Linda was to be inducted into the 2024 class, and what a night to be honored.
A graduate of Orlando Oak Ridge High School, Linda Gooch was a standout athlete of the Oak Ridge track cheerleading and gymnastics teams.
Linda shared the stage with former NFL running back William Floyd and NBA star Tracy McGrady.
He was towering over her, obviously.
This is Linda's husband, Alan Gooch. Alan, from your perspective, what was it like to see your wife up there with all these people who were pretty famous and she's being honored with them too?
Yeah, I still make her, you know, cook dinner and take out the trash. I don't want anybody. No, it was awesome.
You may have heard the awards ceremony announcer say Linda was a gymnast and a standout track athlete in high school, but that wasn't the reason she was entering the Hall of Fame. It was for cheer.
It was an amazing experience just to have the opportunity to represent cheerleading because it was the first person that had ever been inducted into the Florida Sports Hall of Fame from cheerleading.
And how can you keep a woman out of a Hall of Fame who has more championship hardware than McGrady and Floyd combined?
This is the Big Stories Podcast, where we tell the amazing and inspiring stories from across the Big 12 Conference.
I'm Cleon Wall. Back in season one of Big Stories, I was trying hard to connect with Linda Gooch as she hit her 40th year as cheer coach at the University of Central Florida. She had just written a piece for UCF about why she still cheers for the Knights, and I wanted to dig into the how and why behind her incredible run at one school. But in the fall of 2023, our schedules didn't line up, so I moved on. Since then, a lot has happened. The Knights cheer squad won its fourth national championship, and Linda became a Florida Sports Hall of Famer. So I asked if we could finally make that interview happen. This time, I was lucky enough to sit down with her and her husband, Alan. I'm glad he was there because Alan is just one half of this powerhouse duo that I'm going to dub Mr. and Mrs. UCF.
Just about every meal is a discussion about getting better at something.
So let's dive in.
I am a military brat, so I was one of those 13 schools in 12 years. We lived overseas until I was in high school, and then my dad moved back to the United States so I could finish school here, high school here in Orlando.
Linda wasn't just a track and gymnastics athlete in high school. She also joined the Spirit Squad her senior year. When it came time for college, though, she had no interest in big-name in-state schools like the University of Florida or Florida State.
I think that the opportunity to be able to come to a school where I wasn't joining something that was already steeped in traditions that had already been established, and I had a chance to come to a place where you could actually create the traditions.
UCF was just starting to build its sports tradition. The school had recently changed its name from Florida Technological University to the University of Central Florida and launched a football team just in time for Linda's freshman year in the fall of 1979. At one of the Knights' first home games, Linda found herself sitting in front of the cheer squad, completely captivated by their acrobatic stunts. By the following spring, she decided to try out for the Spirit Squad and made the team. Linda spent the next 4 years cheering for UCF. During that time, she met a certain football player named Alan Gooch.
We met at a fraternity party. We were good friends at the time and did a lot of intramural things together as a big friend group. And just, you know, our friendship kind of grew into more after that.
The football cheerleader, it'll give you a cavity type story, right?
Allen joined the UCF football coaching staff after graduation. A year later, Linda received her diploma and was presented with an intriguing opportunity.
So Ann Kerr was our sponsor when I was on the team. And so as I finished up, she called me on the phone and said, "Hey, I want to let you know that we're moving cheerleading over under the Department of Athletics, and they're going to hire a coach." And, you know, she said, I think you would be great if you'd like to, you know, if you'd like to apply for the job. And so I did apply. I was teaching. I had just gotten a job teaching school in Orange County. And so I said, you know, absolutely. I applied for the job and found out that I got it. I do remember having this very, very confident mindset because, you know, when you're an athlete, you know all the things that you think are not being done the way that they should be, you know, and all of these plans that you have, not even realizing how hard it is to actually execute those things.
The first year was a little rough. She was now the head coach of athletes who had been her peers.
I made a lot of mistakes, and I do have the funniest picture. I have a photo of me in the summer, the very first year I'm coaching, and I'm there posing with my team. Everyone is beaming. It's just, there's so much joy in this photo. I'm so excited. And my excitement and enthusiasm just did not match my leadership. And I have a photo. We're sitting in the bleachers at a basketball game. This is at the end of the season. And the attrition on my team is obvious. There are a number of people that have obviously been kicked off the team. Numerous ones that quit because they did not appreciate my, you know, my leadership and didn't have the patience for it. So, it's just a great reminder that I just didn't know. I didn't know how to lead my team at that point. I was learning.
That's when she decided to lean on Allen.
I didn't know how to pattern cheerleading with anything other than just like any other sport. And so I would say to Allen, you know, as he moved through the ranks in coaching at UCF and he was a recruiting coordinator, I would ask him, you know, what do you guys do for this? And how do you handle the team with that? And what are, you know, how do you do discipline? And so we just always patterned what we did with our cheer program after the way that football, as close as we could to what they ran it.
Yeah. And she's done a great job.
Linda didn't just want her cheer squad to support UCF's other athletic teams. She wanted them to contend for national cheer titles. So starting in 1984, her first year on the job, she began submitting videotapes showcasing her team's talents. Year after year, though, the Knights cheer squad was turned down. The odds were stacked against them. Only five teams made the cut each year.
So for 10 years, I'm learning. I'm learning what to do, what not to do, how to lead my team, the ins and outs, what I needed to do to qualify. I'm going to seminars. I'm calling and reaching out to other coaches in other divisions that might be willing to give me some tips. I'm trying to learn as much as possible.
Finally, in 1994, the Knights Spirit Squad was invited to the Division I AA National Championship.
When I look back on that period, I can honestly say I do believe that that first 10 years of my coaching career was one of the most instrumental and formative times because I learned that if I just stay after it and keep going, you know, I'm going to get it figured out. It was painful and it was messy, but as I look back, I mean, it was just so worth it. And we just never looked back. I mean, we went out there to San Diego, fought. We just wanted to represent our school well, and we ended up in second place and were very close to winning and beating Morehead State, which was the eventual champion.
2 years later, the Knights moved up a division in football and in cheerleading. Linda's squad would be taking on powerhouse programs like the University of Kentucky.
There were two generations of college cheerleaders that had never known another champion in Division I-A. So they absolutely were Goliath, no doubt.
The Knights held their own in 1999, taking third. They also qualified for the competition in 2000 and 2001.
In 2002, we came in and Kentucky had a fall. And that's typically pretty devastating. And then we hit our routine. And so there was some controversy over their championship in 2002 because you have that situation.
Linda won't say it, but yeah, they won it in 2002. So, there was a Russian judge up there that just hammered them, and they should. the whole place booed when, you know, it wasn't given to UCF at the time.
I believe really that 2002 team laid the foundation for 2003 to come in, because if you'd been there in 02 and had been at the championship, you remember that. And then here we come and we're back again. And we're right there with Kentucky coming out of semifinals, and we go into finals and we hit our routine again in 2003 and we won our first championship. It was a really amazing thing. Anytime you have those David and Goliath situations, I think it was great for all of Division I-A cheerleading, because I think it truly gave some people the feeling like, you know, we could do it. We could do this. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, you wake up every morning, and if you work hard enough and you put the work in and you do what you need to do, you do what it takes, you have a chance to win.
The Knights claimed titles again in 2007, 2020, and 2024, the 40th year of Linda's tenure. But everything nearly came to a halt just 1 year after her first championship.
Athletic director, and they made a change with the head coach, and I was definitely given an opportunity to stay, but just didn't feel like that it was going to be the right thing for me to stay on as a coach.
The Gooch family faced a tough choice: keep pursuing college football coaching and move to a new school, or leave the profession altogether.
I don't think I ever said, I really want to stay here. I was used to moving, and I think I even, relayed that to Alan.
Jim Tressel did call.
Tressel was the head football coach at the Ohio State University. He told Alan he wanted him on staff, as long as his own brother didn't take the running backs coach job first. For Alan, Coach Tressel was the one guy he most wanted to work under.
We knew Coach Tressel during his time at Youngstown State, and UCF and Youngstown State had some battles during the regular season, and then we would meet in the playoffs. So we had a lot of respect for each other.
You know, you can move and start over, and I was fully prepared to do that if that was what was going to end up being best.
But Coach Tressel's brother accepted the job.
We have been involved in coaching long enough to see the nomadic lifestyle that some people go through. You know, pulling up families and moving every 3 years is not fun for the rest of the family. So I did get out of coaching at that time. I had some opportunities here with some former teammates to stay in and around the Central Florida area and in Orlando.
Alan co-founded a commercial real estate group and now serves as CEO of the Orlando Sports Foundation, the organization behind the Cure Bowl.
Having this national opportunity to bring in teams to Orlando, help impact the community, but also use the platform, the great platform of college football, to raise money for cancer research. You know, Linda was, she is the head coach of her program and had been doing a great job, and there was no, I wasn't going to make it just about me. We're a team, and I can make things happen here. I was happy to be at UCF trying to support from a different angle instead of inside the lines as a coach or a player, doing it outside the lines. And so we've been able to do that.
Alan has always been incredibly supportive. And if you're a college coach, just like it is for football coaches, it's an entire family affair, and everybody has to be on board because you basically live and breathe it. I mean, there is no 9-to-5. Athletes are calling you at all different kinds of times of day and night. And, so it's an all-in kind of thing.
Linda has been all in for over 40 years. And while she's not thinking about retirement, she says she will know when the time is right.
I'm still looking forward. I'm still thinking about next year and, what it's going to be like next year. So I also still feel like I am still helping people. And sometimes, Alan will say to me, what are we doing? Because it's so much work. And I'll look at him and I'll say, we're helping people. You know, what else really is there? You know, you want to help people. And I do believe that I've always looked at the 18 to 23 year old age range, which is, you know, college athletes. And I have always felt like this is kind of that last opportunity to be able to pour into them and get them ready to go out into the world.
A UCF employee once remarked that Alan and Linda might be the only husband and wife duo in a school's athletic hall of fame. Alan in 2006, Linda in 2022. But for these two, the recognition was never the point. Their mission, building up future Knights.
Staying here and building something really great right here at UCF has been so special.
It's been great to be a part of it and the building of it. And I think that's what was attractive to us. We're builders, you know, we were wanting to help UCF build.
James Collin, BYU's post-production department, provided music and sound design for this episode. Big thanks to the Florida Sports Hall of Fame for the audio clip. I'm Cleon Wall, and we will be back with more big stories from around the Big 12. Big Stories is a production of BYU Radio.